education to start or advance a career in teaching. Info at carthage.edu/grad.
Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, this week featuring a new vendor, Savino's Brick Oven, offering hot and fresh pizza. Kenosha Harbor Market on 2nd Avenue and Plaza Douay is open Saturdays from 9 to 2.
Hello, welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name's Mark Philwett, type 1 diabetic, since Wang Chung and the Bengals topped the charts.
I'm Toby Maxwell, riding sidecar, type 2. Welcome to your go-to, rapidly becoming the go-to place to be on the air for diabetic talk in a real sense. We've got fives of listeners, and we're glad you're here.
Yeah, I remember coming back after being diagnosed, and top 40 radio was nothing to be proud of back in 87. Walked like an Egyptian, going through my head with this diabetic information. It was not a good Thursday.
Well, it's a good day today, and we're glad you're here. We have not one, but two special guests to join us a little bit later.
That's true. And Dobie and I have discussed this for some time now. Who do we bring on as guests? Well, Donna Swanson, that was a no-brainer right off.
Mm-hmm.
That way, she gives us, what's the word I'm looking for?
Credibility.
Intelligence.
Mark. Well, that too.
It helps. And we were also thinking about guests. What type of guests? We're thinking at first Jay Cutler.
You were thinking that. I'm a Packer fan. I would,
honestly,
if Jay Cutler was having a diabetic seizure, I'd give him a Twinkie. And I mean that in a friendly and a customer service kind of a way, only because I'm a Packer fan. It might be a low-sugar Twinkie, but he'd get one nonetheless.
And it might have been dropped a few times on the parking lot.
Might have been.
Before it was handed to Jay. But once he minced through all that gravel, he'd get himself some fine glucose.
But we do have a heart deep inside, so we thought, okay, who can we get at a low budget that could ride in the same car with Donna?
And actually, it rolls right into our word of the show. In each and every show, we have a word. This one, CGM. Dummy?
CGM.
I don't know if we should go that way.
No, that's kind of not an acronym, because it doesn't spell anything out.
Actually, it does, so it would be an acronym.
What does it spell?
Continuous glucose monitoring.
That doesn't spell it out.
Oh.
An acronym like SCUBA, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. CGM is like a bad Scrabble hand. Can't make any words out of that.
Well, I'd like to thank my English teacher, okay. Mrs. Thomas. Very good.
Thank you, Mrs. Thomas. She's not dead yet, but she should be.
All she told me was about dangling participles.
Don't dangle your participle in front of company.
And actually, the show rolls in with one of the questions that we actually received on the website, thediabeticshow.com,
mm-hmm.
or the Facebook. It's on there somewhere. I'll start with that.
Please do.
It's from Bob from Kenosha.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, Bob. He started with a Dexcom about 6 weeks back. Dexcom, meaning one of those continuous glucose monitors.
Mm-hmm.
And at times it's brilliant. But for the first couple of days after startup, it's a real pain. He gets low readings, then he eats lollipops in a panic, as so do I. Then the numbers started end up skyrocketing. And when he did a finger prick later, the readings were completely over. He didn't think it was hypo at all.
That was Bob type 1 or type 2?
I'm imagining type 2, okay. Being a continuous glucose monitor. I guess you could have it if you're type 1 or type 2, but type 1, we have more of a need with the chemical,
okay.
And the hormone insulin.
Got it.
But anyway, we'll talk to Donna about that, Donna Swanson, uh-huh. from UHS, into the next one. Here's the news, though. Now, we've already discussed the cure for diabetes, apparently.
Okay.
Well, that's not here yet.
No, it's here. We just don't get it.
That's true. You're going to be one of those.
The Bilderbergers have it.
Mm.
The conspiracy, the Illuminati. They've got a cure for cancer. It tastes like chocolate fudge. Goes down, you just take a little thing. No cancer, no diabetes. You can eat whatever you want. You had a six-pack. But we don't get it. The public doesn't get it. The Kardashians get it. We don't get it.
You had me to the chocolate, and then I'm thinking if it had like a chocolate peanut butter.
Don't you think? Aftercare? Seriously. The people on top, they have Jerry, how long was Jerry Lewis on the air? 50 years?
Yeah,
billions, trillions, zillions of dollars. We can't cure it. Tony Bennett needs a gig every year. You have to put somebody on. Isn't it true? I mean, I hate to be pessimistic. Yes. Diabetes, well, get down on here. She tells us all these statistics, and I listen to her, and I'm dumbfounded. Trillions, millions, zillions of people have diabetes and all the complications. They've got the cure. We're just not getting it. They're getting it in increments.
Those persnickety one percenters.
I'm sorry. I know I'm a conspiracy nut.
That's okay, because I know you're getting over it. It's a process.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a type 3 they're going to wheel out one of these days.
Now, talk about nutrition, which we did a couple shows ago.
Let's do that.
Here's a, you ever heard of the 5-over-2 diet or the 5-2 diet?
5-2 diet.
Literally, what it is.
Five pizzas for every two salads. That's the Wisconsin diet.
That is very close. Okay. Very close. And actually, thanks to Wisconsin, now I know, all you can eat.
No, it's dyslexic. It means eat all you can. You don't just want a good meal. You want to put them out of business. You want to see the plywood come out, put up the windows. $9.95, I got a picnic ham between my thighs. I'm smuggling out to my car because they're not getting it. No buns, no salad. I want everything meat and dessert. That's what my grandparents were. As a kid, seriously, we're paying for a buffet. At the time, it was $2.98. You're going to eat it. They lived through the Depression. My grandma's purse was like a 50-pound barbell walking out of there with turkey wings. And yeah.
But I always figured, whenever you saw that sign, all you care to eat?
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's more of a challenge.
You stop caring after plate 6. I think you stop caring.
So, this 5-over-2 diet, which
yes. is... Yes, explain what that is, please.
Talking about a couple days ago. It's a situation where you have the 7-day week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got you now. Okay.
You eat normally for 5 of those days. Normally.
Yeah.
Yeah, pizza. I know you like things rolled in bacon. Things like that.
No, Donna, last week I bring her on. She totally lost my appetite for bacon. She just poo-pooed my love for the pig's innards.
I notice with Donna, she's very anti-nitrate.
Well, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, well, this 5-over-2, you eat fine anything you want for those 5 days.
Okay.
2 days, for women, they eat 500 calories, and for men, they eat 600 calories in a row. So 2 days in a row, you're eating 1,200 calories total for those 2 days.
Oh, you're going to be eating lead paint chips after this.
And then...
That's not healthy. That can't be healthy.
Believe it or not, so far they say it is. So far, they say it is.
Okay.
Now, they've tested 36 people. So, this is a
okay.
University of South Australia, probably.
Yeah, the Philwett family reunion.
35 people.
Yeah, let's have an entire pig roast, and then we'll eat cedar chips for 2 days and let it cool off.
So here's
this sounds ridiculous, Mark. I'm sorry. I'm a pessimist.
Look, the gist is a standard caloric-restrictive diet. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get you to eat 1,200, 1,500 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
Unachievable. Well, for most. And if it isn't, it's unnatural for everybody because, sure enough, you lose the weight, and then what do after you lose the weight?
You buy a bathing suit.
And then it doesn't fit 10 weeks later. Yeah. It's all the same thing. So that's the situation. They're saying this works. Eat like you do. Maybe not like you do, but like most
people
do.
No, I think most people eat rotten. That's why we have the show.
That's true.
I mean, since we've been doing the show, I think before I eat my Big Mac.
Yeah. I think.
No, I haven't been doing it. I'm very serious about this. We joke around because we want to make this real. The average person who works in driving a bus or shoveling whatever you shovel and make the real average person, it's hard to do.
That's true.
So we're trying to make it palatable so we don't die tomorrow. We want to extend life.
So the gist is, if you're going to go this 5-over-2 or 5-2, obviously you speak to your doctor at least 1 or 2 to make sure because diets are just that. It's either going to be a lifestyle change or it isn't. And if it is not a lifestyle change, it's not going to probably.
And the word again today is?
Oh, God, I should have been taking
CGM,
notes.
Right?
CGM, continuous glucose monitoring. And by the way, before we go to the break, because I noticed Troy McDonald, they're giving us the fingers again. Mm-hmm. According to the World Health Organization, number of diabetics in the world. This is the world.
The whole world.
422 million.
Wow.
I mean, and that's up from a mere 108 million 30 years ago.
That's disturbing.
I thought so. Yeah. But again, good news for us.
Because we have a show.
And as long as we're on the internet, well, you can see, Dolby.
I'm not a fan of the internet. That's a fad. That's not going to stay.
Yeah, I know. those things.
We got to go. Our guests are coming up, and the good ones they are, so stay around.
The Diabetic Show. Show. My name's Mark Philway.
I'm Dobie Maxwell. We've got a wonderful show for you today. Not one, but two very, very intelligent and knowledgeable guests.
And before we get into the segment here, and again, when it comes to radio or podcasts, which I'm still not that up to speed with, but
I still have an 8-track player, so you're looking at the wrong guy.
8-tracks were great.
They were.
I still have a Boston. Anyway, the deal is, we're not sure when these should play. On the radio, it's every so often. Mm-hmm. On the podcast, it's whenever you click the button.
Right.
Supposedly. Our general manager in this building, I have to, David Cole, he's recovering from some nice, easy surgery this week. And on behalf of all of us here in the studio, of course, you know, Dobie and Troy McDonald, who is apparently is like a heartbeat away from Dave's position. he's a little... I mean, he's happy Dave's okay.
Yeah, the black coffee, Dave. I think this. No sugar. It tastes a little funny, Troy. It's okay. Just relax a little bit. Just go lay in the corner.
So, again, a lot of good fortune to Dave. Good fortune to Troy in case, you know, things don't work out with Dave. So, anyway, let's move on.
Promotion in a cup. That's what that's called.
You just have to cover all ends. And we have guests.
We do have guests. Donna Swanson is our usual guest. She really dishes out knowledge, and we're glad that she's here. But not only is she here this week, she brought her lovely and talented daughter. And we talked about her on the air, and I said, you know, is she ready for what we're doing in here? And you said, yes, we're going to bring her in. So she's here.
Yes, she is.
And introduce her, please.
I'm sorry, this is Emily Swanson, my 15-year-old and 11 months, one month away from driving.
Hi, Emily.
My daughter. With type 1 diabetes.
You know, it's really funny to see the look on your face as to who these two idiots are that your mother brought you in to visit. But we're here for a reason, because now you are type 1, correct?
Yes.
Could you tell us your story a little bit, please?
Okay, so I was diagnosed when I was 9 years old, and I've had it for almost 7 years now. I was diagnosed in November, and...
Wait, yeah. You know the time and date. We talked about this in a past show.
Right, we did.
What was the time and date? Do you remember?
Of when?
When you were diagnosed.
Oh, November 18th.
How do you know that?
I just remembered.
Just remembered it?
Yeah.
You will always remember that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where were you when 9/11 happened?
Something, anything traumatic, anything life-changing, there you go. Yep.
Now, let me ask you this. How did you react when you heard it? Were you scared?
No, not really. It's just, I don't know, something new.
Wait, let me back up.
Okay, go ahead.
Before you were diagnosed, what was going on with you? Prompted you to see the doctor and get diagnosed?
I couldn't feel my hand, so it's not like a usual, like,
right.
Hey, let's go test you for diabetes type thing.
Uh-huh.
But my mom just was like, hey, let's check her for diabetes just in case, because I have a couple family members with it. So
that, like you slept on it or something? Like, yeah, is that what it was like, you thought?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it could. Like, I slept on it funny. I just couldn't feel it for a couple days. Let's go see what's wrong with your hand.
Well, let me ask you this. How did your mom and dad take it when you were diagnosed?
I don't know. I never really asked them. Mom?
Interesting.
What do you remember from the appointment that day?
Just remember my blood sugar was, like, 300 and, diabetic.
Wow. Well, I remember I was actually relieved because I thought – my thought was – it could be a presenting site. I mean, my mind was going in 100 different directions of the possibilities of what it could have been.
And, of course, the maternal always kicks in the hyper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they said it was diabetes, when they said her blood sugar was over 300, I'm thinking, oh, thank God, we can treat diabetes.
Right. Seriously.
Very true.
But, I mean, it's scary, and kids get diagnosed all the time. And I think kids are less afraid than an adult. Kids are tough. You're tough. I can tell you play sports. Now plug your basketball team. We were plugging it when you were playing.
Yeah.
How'd you guys do?
Basketball?
Yeah, your basketball. What's the name of the team? Your mom got it wrong.
Catholic Central.
Okay. All right. I'll make sure we got that right.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, the boys. That's what we were talking
about.
Oh,
that's what it was. Okay.
They went to state.
They went to state.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got you.
Came second in state.
Cool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it came to being diagnosed, what were the first changes that you noticed? Like, why? Well, I wish I could do this, but I can't do this anymore, and I have to do that.
Well, injections was new for me. I did not want to do it. I was kind of freaked out at first. A needle? Uh-huh. No, thank you.
Right.
But it's something you just get used to. I mean, it just becomes a part of your daily life.
Did you do your own from the first, or did your mom and dad help you?
I think my mom did the first one, and then from there I just learned to do it myself.
You're a tough kid.
Wow. Thank you.
Wow. I mean, I traveled a full time zone to get in a position to build up the bravery, which I did not possess.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there. Now, let's talk about, now, Emily's got a George Jetson space age. She was showing us these tubes and widgets and digits and computers, and she has a printout. I don't know what it is. It's unbelievable, the technology, how it's advanced from when Mark and I were diagnosed to Emily's age.
Oh, back then, it was much like the Flintstones, where we used bone and, this, you know, the birds, the beaks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this ties into the letter that we got from Bob from Kenosha.
Uh-huh.
And actually, if you can kind of start off with this, Donna, if you can help her. Because Bob also has a similar device, if not the exact same device as your daughter. It's a Dexcom. He's had about 6 weeks. Times it works. Last few days, it isn't. He gets low readings on the machine. And then he eats his lollipops as he thinks that's what he needs. Then he does his blood sugar, and it skyrockets. He doesn't feel like he was hypo at all. And according to Bob, some of the sensors are fine. Others seem to drift downward all the time. I'm imagining that's where they're coming up with what he's calling a false hypo, or hypoglycemic is what he's talking about here.
Uh-huh.
But he's using heaps of finger sticks now just to make sure that his CGM is CGMing, and he doesn't see the whole point to it, because you shouldn't have to do all the finger pricks if you have a continual glucose monitor. Donna.
That is a great question, and I love the question. And continue. I think it's important to note what the purpose of a continuous glucose monitor is and what it does, what it affords a patient. So continuous glucose monitors measure interstitial fluid, the glucose in interstitial fluid.
Okay, wait.
Not
back,
in the
back,
bloodstream.
Back up. Let's bring this
yep.
up. Lower this for me. Common
okay.
denominator. Use Dolby and I as the common denominator.
Yes.
If we understand what you're saying. Literally mm-hmm. everyone, including some mammals, will understand what you're getting at. So
okay. So when somebody pokes their finger, they're measuring blood glucose.
Right.
When they use a continuous glucose sensor, it's measuring the glucose levels in the fluid around the bloodstream to and from the – so it's measuring glucose to and from the cell.
Okay. Let me stop you here. When I do the finger pricks
mm-hmm. –
I'm getting just past that dermis, just breaking it enough to get the blood out.
Yep.
When I'm noticing your daughter showing us her sensor, the Dexcom sensor,
yep.
it's longer than that. I mean, here, I'm using fingers and radio. This works, folks. It's this long, but hers is this long. Anyway, it's at least, what, inch long what you're inserting in your body?
Not even.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's like literally hers, the Dexcom. It's like as thin as a cat whisker. It might be an inch. I'm not sure.
But compared
I've never
to a finger prick, it's going deeper in the body. Are you getting different results because it's deeper?
I don't think so. No, it's the technology's different.
Oh,
The measurement, when you're doing a finger poke, you're getting capillary blood. And so the point of what people should be thinking if they're considering getting a continuous glucose sensor. There's a few things that it will afford you. It gives you, it measures pretty close to blood glucose. It should be very close, but it has to be calibrated against a blood sugar reading, which means in that sensor, they get a transmitter or a pump that it's reading to, and they have to enter a blood sugar reading at least twice a day to keep it calibrated and giving more accurate readings.
Okay, wait. Are you talking about an additional finger prick?
Well, see, the thing is, if somebody has type 1, or type 2, and they are a good candidate for a continuous blood sugar monitor. What they should be testing probably 3 to 4 times a day. A continuous glucose monitor is not intended to take away finger pokes. It does in the sense that if somebody's testing, maybe they have to test before breakfast, lunch, dinner, and bedtime, because we're testing before meals so we can figure out how much insulin to take. But what a sensor does is if somebody feels weird, that sensor, they can look down and see if they're testing at their normal times, it shows patterns. It shows if their blood sugar is dropping too quickly. It can give them early warning if their blood sugar is going low. It can give them early warning if their blood sugar is going high. but it's not intended to make treatment decisions. So if somebody feels low and they look at their continuous glucose sensor and they haven't calibrated, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they haven't calibrated since 6 o'clock in the morning, it may or may not be the same as what their blood sugar is. So they shouldn't be making a treatment decision based on that, because normally most people are going to test their blood sugar, and I would recommend if you test 4 times a day, you continue to test 4 times a day. It doesn't take away your routine testing, but it gives you early indication so that maybe you don't have to test 8 times a day just to find out what's going on.
Wow, that's fascinating. So now, Emily, do you find yourself we've got to take a break right now?
Do we have to again? You put buttons in front of the guy.
No, hang on to that. We're going to talk to Emily Swanson and also Donna Swanson. Mark Philwood is his name. My name is Toby Maxwell. We are the Diabetic Show. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett.
I'm Toby Maxwell. We are talking with Donna Swanson, and her daughter Emily is here. And it's lucky that you got type 1 with your mom is in the business. There's kids listening, I'm sure, that have type 1 or type 2 that don't have their mom that knows anything about it. So what would you recommend, that for someone that gets the diagnosis at your age? What do you talk to your friends? What do you think is the best thing to do?
Well, there's many resources you can use. Like, I use apps on my phone, and I recommend going to camp, meeting friends with who have it
as
well.
Talk about camp. Let's
talk
about that.
Yes, because you're going soon.
Yes, I am.
First off, where are you going?
I am going up to Rosholt, Wisconsin. It's about 3 hours north of here.
I'm sorry to correct you. It's Rosholt, only because I have some hillbilly cousins up there, and I tease them about living up there in Rosholt, Wisconsin. So I'm going to have them come out and make it something that's diabetic friendly.
But if there are some businesses up in that town that would like to sponsor our show, they are a great, great business.
So how long is it, like a week? You going up like summer camp?
Yes, it's 5 days.
And how do you get picked for it? Does people just, mom and dad, send you there?
You just sign up for it online. It's ran by the American Diabetes Association.
What do you learn?
They'll give you, up there, there's like learning sessions, like, for like 10 minutes every night and like during the day.
Sure.
So you like learn about it. And you have like friends, you can like ask questions like, hey, do you do this too? Or
that's an awesome idea. Does every state have this?
Most do.
But the costs. I know the costs go differently state to state to state. I am in Illinois, where, of course, there is no money left in the entire state.
Right, yeah.
But apparently you folks up here north of the border, a little better year.
Living high off the hog up here.
So it's a situation, I know Wisconsin, it's not as bad as other states to go to camp, which is great because, at least for me, I learn a lot, well, listening to your mom, but I learn a lot from listening to other people's stories, because there's a lot of things you could pull from their story to make it fit into your life. And when I see you with that pump, and you're trying, I wish we could have thrown this on the radio, because it would have been, you're pointing to this, you're pointing to that, you've got something wireless. That's actually, well, first you got a sensor. You have a sensor that goes in your body.
Yes, that's my CGM.
Okay. And it has a transmitter on it.
It correct.
Sends that signal, whatever those readings are, to a transmitter?
It sends it to my pump.
To the pump. The transmitter sends it to the pump, and the pump does something about it. Like, doesn't give you insulin if you don't need it, gives you insulin if you need it.
No.
Okay, please correct.
It's my CGM and my pump are two different things.
Okay.
My CGM tells me about where I am, but it won't correct it for me. I have to do that manually.
That's the pump.
Yes, that part is the pump.
Okay. I have one dumb question. How long does the battery last? Is it like a cell phone? Do you have to charge it?
Yes, my pump, you do have to charge it like a cell phone. It lasts about, depends if I have sports or not, 3 to 4 days.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So you plug it in like you can't, you go to bed, can't go 3 feet, the bed, like your phone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Because, you don't have to take it out, do you? I was just wondering how you
jumper
cables from your dad's car and just kind of crank the diehard.
Just unclip it from wherever I'm wearing it on my body, and I'll just lay it on my table and plug it in, and I'll go to bed. It'll charge.
Now, these sensors that you have, how long do they last before they have to be replaced?
7 days.
7 days you got. Mm-hmm. You notice any difference, like this one letter that we had here? Any fluctuations between the sensors? Are they pretty consistent?
They're pretty consistent. Sometimes the first day you just need to calibrate it, and it should be fine, though.
So again, what your mom was saying, the calibration.
Now, Donna, is there like going to be brand issues, like a Coke, Pepsi versus these things? Is it one company makes it, or going to be more?
No, there's Medtronic has a sensor as well, and that one actually does work a little bit different. That one does make treatment decisions.
With the pump,
that's yeah. Right. But Dexcom, what Emily wears is a Dexcom with a T-Slim pump, and it doesn't have a feature called threshold suspend, which Medtronic does have. So there's pros and cons to both pumps, and I don't endorse one over the other. I encourage patients to look into what they think is going to work
best for them. A doctor would probably suggest, wouldn't he, or her?
Yeah, but it's really an individualized decision for the patient. Like in Emily's case, she liked the features better for Dexcom, and it was the comfort of the device. She liked the sensor with Dexcom better. But some of my patients, you know, say, no, they really like that threshold suspend feature on the Medtronic. So I really think it, you got to look at all the features. And we help people when they come in and show them what each pump can do and what each sensor, you know, what they pair with. And Dexcom is pretty compatible with most of the pumps on the market. I think all of them, except for maybe Medtronic because they have their own.
Okay, now, Emily, best part about being a diabetic. Is that a terrible question? I mean, you've got good and you got bad. I mean, how are you dealing with it?
I don't really see any, like, negative part about being diabetic, really. I don't really mind being diabetic in the first place, so I don't really see any pro or con to it. It's just, it is what it is. I mean,
good way to dump a boy you're not interested in. I'm diabetic. I'm having to. my sugar's high. Get lost.
I suppose that'd be a good.
Yeah, I'm saying you guys are positive, you know. That's right.
Another use.
I'm saying, you know, look at the positive.
Lord. What do you get from your friends? They see these things, all these machines on you, make comments?
Some ask, and I have no problem answering any of their questions, and they just are reluctant to ask to share food.
Now, your mom said you play sports, which
huge.
I find fascinating. Even the Jay Cutler thing, we joke about that. But, I mean, your blood sugar has got to be just obviously way different than normal life when you're playing sports. How do you handle that? Is it different than the other teammates? Like, you have to, like, have, you know, like a sucker or a candy bar that time out or something?
It depends. I usually suspend my pump during activity, so it won't be giving me any insulin, and really that should do it. I should ride normal throughout my game, practice. Sometimes if I feel low, I'll sit out on the sidelines, test, treat, and come right back.
Wow.
And
now, I would think if they don't know anybody diabetic, it could be an issue with them.
They know. I inform them that I'm diabetic. My mom and I show them what to do in case I go very low and, like, go unconscious because I'm low. But all my coaches are cool with it. They know what to do.
Yeah, your coach. One of my teammates was, dude, it's unconscious. Wow. That would flip me out.
Yeah. It's a whole new world, Dobby.
Well, you're brave, Emily. Seriously, thanks for being on. I appreciate it. Now I know we're having fun, but we're not making fun. And there's a big difference between that because there's kids listening. That's got to be it's hard enough to be a kid without having that.
Yeah.
So you're doing great.
Thank you.
But you know, honestly, too, her friends are so supportive, and I would encourage kids with diabetes, talk to your friends. Don't be ashamed of, or afraid, or embarrassed, or you know, try to hide it, because those are usually the cases where people end up with fatalities.
Right. Now, I'm fascinated by the whole camp thing. Now, if someone doesn't have the resources to go to camp, are there scholarships or could we do a benefit or something? Like, I'm a comedian. I would gladly do a benefit to send a kid to camp.
Well, I know the Lions. I was told the Lions have a lot to do
Yeah, the Lions camp, that's what ADA sponsors, and the Lions camp up in Rochelle. They, it's in Wisconsin, it's $150 for a family to send their child to that camp.
Very reasonable.
But, yeah, very reasonable. Other states that I've checked into, it's been $700, $900,
right.
Stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure.
But it's very, and they get a lot of sponsorship from drug companies and all that as well.
Now, I learned something. That's really cool. I'm impressed by that.
Excellent. What can we say? Thank you. I'm so glad we had you ahead of Cutler. I'm serious. You're a lot easier, and we don't have to send for the
You're in about 3 weeks, they're going to hear you, and you guys are going to be doing the show, you and your mom, and we're going to be pounding sand. You know, Troy's going to make us wax the windows outside. That's okay.
I would gladly park Troy McDonald's car in case
there you go.
It works out.
Let's plug our website, Mark, really quickly, because
that
we always have to go.
The diabeticshow.com or Facebook, the Diabetic Show. You'll get a
so you could Mark at the Diabetic Show. Dobie, well, D-O-B-I-E.
That's the email that works too.
Right.
Info at the Diabetic
Show. Now, if they want to ask Donna, or would you mind, Emily, if people like somebody out and ask you a question, would you mind maybe answering it? Is that cool?
I wouldn't mind at all.
Cool. Beautiful. So we could make Emily at the Diabetic Show too.
Emily, Donna, Troy.